Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Bucks Weekly is on the air, and we have our first game under Doc Rivers to assess for the Bucks. More than that, though, we have a four-game sample, and as we talked about quite a bit last night on Bucks Talk, and as you've heard me mention on this show this year, on other shows, sample size is always very, very important. Four games is not the sample size you're going to shoot for in terms of making any concrete analysis and jumping to conclusions over what you've seen. But given what we saw in the previous near 40 games that the Bucks had played, I do think it is worth pointing out, well, I did add the caution of, you know, four games doesn't really tell you a whole lot. This defense has seemingly looked much better since the three games with Joe Prunty as the interim head coach. And then last night as well in Denver, albeit in a loss to the Denver Nuggets, where you basically held Denver, funny to say held in a game that you lost, but held Denver to essentially their season average in scoring. Denver averages about 115 points per game due to the Nuggets. They scored 113 last night. And after the game, when we heard from Doc Rivers, he had talked about a couple of things, but most importantly, he talked about the Bucks defense and what he liked about the defense, that they were engaged. They were really getting after it on the defensive end of the floor. And I think the biggest line that stuck with a lot of people that you heard last night is it was the first comment Doc Rivers made. I told the guys after the game, anyone who told you you can't play defense lied. Our half-court defense was excellent. They should be proud of the defense they played tonight. The loss was on the offense. We had stretches where the ball just wasn't moving, and that's what we have to clean up. But Doc Rivers very encouraged by what he saw from this team defensively, and I've seen some videos out there from NBA Talking Heads and various accounts that will break down X's and O's that have pointed to, hey, look at last night. Look at how Damian Lillard was fighting over screens. Look at the way the Bucks were defending the pick and roll, a big, big area of weakness for the Bucks the first half of the season. I'm not going to say it was cleaned up, but hey, that stuff looked a lot better. And what you saw last night, Doc Rivers kind of alluded to this at his introductory press conference as well, that, you know, I watched some things on film. I watched this from afar. I saw it from the couch. He even made this comment last night, too. Everything I saw tonight is exactly what I saw from afar. That is the good news. It's all fixable. We have guys that want to get it right. Those are some of the comments Doc Rivers made over the weekend as well, his introductory press conference on Saturday of, look, we know the defense has to improve. I feel confident with these guys that we have here, as Doc Rivers has labeled them adults. We have adults in the room, and I feel confident working with that group that we can get this defense to where it needs to be. As we've talked about quite a bit this season, it may not have looked at last night, but this is an elite offense. And if you have that elite offense, if you have Damian Lillard and his ability to score in the half court, as long as your defense is better than league average, somewhere around there, you're in a pretty good spot. And I think what we saw last night, again, albeit one game, but what we saw last night was enough to spark confidence of this team can get it turned around defensively. Nobody is suggesting the Bucks are going to be an elite defensive group. And even the hole that they have dug themselves, when you look at their numbers for the season as a whole, looking at defensive efficiency here, they sit at 19th with a 116.3 defensive rating. But the good news is you're not too far off from moving up a couple of spots. The Brooklyn Nets are at 115.7. They're 17th. The Phoenix Suns, where you should really strive to be around teams like the Suns, right? The Suns are at a 115.2, so they're about a point per 100 possessions better than you are. Anything beyond 13 or so, it's going to be difficult to really climb that far, given where you are right now with a 116-plus defensive rating. Teams around the top 10 are at 113, just a little below that. So it's going to be tough because of the hole that you've dug for yourself. But just as earlier in the season, we were pointed to numbers since November 3rd, when you put Brook Lopez back in the drop, I think that's what you're going to see going forward as well. It's probably going to be numbers since either January 24th, when Joe Prunty began his stint of three games as the interim head coach, or since January 29th. We'll make it easy. We'll round it off and say, hey, since February, here's what the Bucks have done with Doc Rivers as the head coach and giving him a little bit of a grace period of a couple of games. A very encouraging start defensively last night. That was a tough opponent, a tough game, a tough spot to be in for Doc Rivers. You lost the game, but it's one of those games that you leave feeling pretty good. I talked about this with a few other people as well earlier this morning, last night after the game of, you know, it counts in the standings. It goes down as a loss, but there was a lot to feel good about. And I think especially encouraging was, hey, as Doc Rivers put it too, the offense is what lost us the game last night. This was an offensive loss and not defensive. And that's the encouraging part. The other takeaway is if you're new to Doc Rivers, there's a lot of candor and a lot more than you've grown used to. As he mentioned, hey, the offense lost us this game. Pointed out some of the shortcomings defensively, joking about, hey, whoever told you you can't defend, they lied to you. You're going to get a very blunt assessment from Doc Rivers, which isn't exactly what we've had at the helm the last couple of years. This isn't just on Adrian Griffin. Mike Budenholzer, very buttoned up. You didn't get a whole lot from Bud. Doc Rivers is the exact opposite. So that's going to be the other thing to really keep an eye on as we move forward. But a good start to the Doc Rivers era, all told, with the way the Bucks were locked in defensively and just some miscues down the stretch, which I think the other thing that Doc Rivers pointed to is, you know, you look at the way we closed the game last night. The Nuggets were very good with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, but that's a duo. They've played together for years. We weren't on that level. We didn't have that same type of efficiency. You know, we had Giannis and Dame going on some runs individually, but they weren't quite as locked in as we saw that duo for Denver. And the thing to note with that is, as Doc was quick to point out, you know, these guys, Dame and Giannis, have played 40 games together in their life. Jokic and Murray have played together for years. So they had it going late. Our guys didn't, but it's going to get there. We know it's going to get there. And now it's just a matter of, okay, how long is this going to take? Because this remains a very difficult stretch that the Bucks are in the midst of right now. You have gotten some help in the standings around you the last couple of days, but that's not going to last forever. So it's the unfortunate spot to be in for Doc Rivers of, all right, congrats on this new job, but hey, you got to hit the ground running immediately because of this schedule that sits in front of the Bucks. Part of that schedule, we'll get to a little bit later in the show, is going to involve a lot of emotion, and that is tomorrow when the Bucks head to Portland. Emotion for the obvious reasons. Damian Lillard making his return to the city of Portland, where he spent the first 11 seasons and nearly 800 games of his NBA career playing for the Portland Trailblazers. That's tomorrow night. We'll preview that matchup in just a moment, as again, a very, very difficult stretch that the Bucks find themselves in right now. With that game in Denver last night, the emotion of a game in Portland. It's going to be a tough one in Dallas against Luka Doncic, who had another 40-point game last night. And then you wrap up the trip playing in two places. The Bucks have not had a whole lot of success in Utah and Phoenix. So we'll take a closer look at the rest of the road trip, and especially tomorrow night in Portland, a little bit later on the show. But coming up next, Gale Klappa, we go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. His conversation this week is with Deputy Commissioner of the NBA, Mark Tatum. You will hear that conversation after this on Bucks Weekly.
The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's Dame time.
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all. The president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager, John Horst. By far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. The times, they're a-changin'. Bob Dylan made that line popular years ago. but he might as well have been talking about the Bucks of 2024. In a tumultuous week, Adrian Griffin replaced as head coach. Doc Rivers, now on board, bringing years of head coaching experience. In the middle of it all, the team hit the road for the toughest trip of the season. It started with a loss Monday night in Denver. No doubt it's been a wild ride so far. A season of change. Not just in Milwaukee, but across the NBA. Tonight, we welcome a guy who has a unique view of the pace of change across the league. From New York, our special guest is the Deputy Commissioner and Chief Operating Officer of the NBA, Mark Tatum. Mark, thanks for joining us. Welcome to Courtside.
Gail, it's great to be back and always good to talk to you.
Oh, good to talk to you. Thank you for your time, Mark. And looking at the bigger picture, we hear a lot about the growth and popularity of the game literally around the world. And interesting, at least to me, when you look at the list of NBA superstars today, it's striking how many of those players are from Europe, starting, of course, with the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Your thoughts?
Oh, it's incredible the influence of the international players, particularly the European players who are coming to our league. When you look at the quality and the quantity, of course, from a quantity standpoint, we have a record number, 125 players who are playing in the NBA today that were born outside the United States. And then, of course, the winners of our last five MVP awards were won by three international players, including Milwaukee Bucks' own Giannis Antetokounmpo, who won back-to-backs, and then Jokic, Nikola Jokic, and Joel Embiid, who had a monstrous night. So the influence of the international players on our game today is really, really incredible.
And Mark, speaking of Giannis, he's setting an incredible pace this season. The only player, as you know, averaging more than 30 points a game and making more than 60% of his shots from the field. How would you describe his influence on the game?
He's on fire. He's on fire. He is having another MVP-type year, and the fans are recognizing him, by the way. So he is, in our last All-Star fan voting results, he was the lead vote-getter with more than 4 million votes. So the fans around the world are recognizing his contributions, his performance on the court. There's not another player in the league that wants to win as much as Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he goes out there and plays with tremendous energy every single night on the court. He leaves it all out there, and he's just a fun player to watch.
Oh, he really is. I think, actually, Mark, that Thanasis voted 3 million times, but I'm not sure.
I don't doubt that.
Speaking of energy, right?
That's right.
Well, Mark, for Bucks fans, one of the most exciting games so far this season feature the matchup between Giannis and that young French phenom, Victor Wembanyama. Giannis won the battle, but after the game, he said he's never seen anything like Wemby. Give us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Wemby's a special player. I mean, if he's got a lot of high expectations that have been placed on him, but he's a really, really great young man. And again, for a player like that to come into this league with such high expectations and then to really, you know, meet those expectations and exceed them has been fascinating to watch. I think the other players have a tremendous amount of respect for him, for his skill level. We've never quite seen a player like him that's, you know, 7'4", that can dribble, that can shoot, that can pass, that has high basketball IQ that he does. And he's just going to continue to grow and grow and grow. And so I think what you're seeing is, the veteran players in the league, they're sizing them up a little bit, but they all have demonstrated a tremendous amount of respect for him, the way he carries himself, the way that he dedicates himself to really getting better and learning the game. And so I think the future is very, very bright when it comes to Victor.
And Mark, as the deputy commissioner, I know you have to stay objective. You can't, publicly have favorite children. But how do you view the progress and development of the Bucks over the past few years?
Well, look, the Bucks are a championship level team. There's no doubt about that. They are playing really good basketball. They're second in the Eastern Conference behind a very strong Boston Celtics team. So they're going to, our inaugural in-season tournament, being in the Final Four there. So they've got a championship mindset, a championship build, and championship aspirations. And I think that that's an exciting time right now. I think the addition, of course, of Damian Lillard added a ton of excitement to the marketplace as well. And Milwaukee Bucks basketball is must-see basketball.
Yeah, we saw Dame Time the other night, as you probably saw from reviewing all the league games. Dame had an incredible buzzer beater, from way, way deep near the logo, off balance to the left, falling away. It was just an amazing shot.
That's what Dame does, right? That's what Dame does.
Well, more with Mark Tatum, the Deputy Commissioner of the NBA, in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
Is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Back to Gale and the NBA's Deputy Commissioner, Mark Tatum.
Mark, as you know, being an NBA referee, one of the toughest jobs on the planet. Tell our listeners, if you will, how the league selects, trains, monitors referees, and how do you try to achieve consistency on the way the games are called?
Yeah, referees, and being a referee in this league is one of the hardest jobs in the world, quite frankly. It's one of the most scrutinized occupations in the world. Every single call you make, every single call you don't make is right there and available for everyone to see and to review. And so we go, and our referees go through a very extensive process of, one, identifying referees at different stages, different levels around the world, and sourcing those people who have an interest in becoming a referee and an NBA referee. And then they go through a process of training and educating and going through the G League as an example. That's a great training ground for our referees, and many of our most recent referees have come from the G League ranks. But it's a multi-year process, Gail, to prepare for and get ready to become an NBA referee. And then once you become an NBA referee, there is extensive training that's being done there, too, by Monty McCutcheon, a former referee himself, who works with all the referees to get them better and to make them the best of what they do in their craft. And we have our entire referee operations staff that is constantly evaluating them for positioning, making sure that that the rules are being enforced properly and appropriately, that we're reviewing every single game, that we're very transparent about calls that our referees get right and the ones that they get wrong. They're human, after all, and humans do make mistakes. And so what we try to do is ensure that we are being transparent with our calls, and that we're always constantly striving to get the call right and to be as good as they can.
Mark, how is the innovation now a few years old of the Coach's Challenge? How's that working out?
It's been fantastic. We obviously added a second Coach's Challenge this year based on feedback from our teams and the coaches, and I think the fans enjoyed it as well. It gives us an opportunity to get the calls right. That is our objective. That's our goal every single time. And the Coach's Challenge is a strategic opportunity for in those particular cases where a coach or a team may think that one of our referees got it wrong. It gives them an opportunity to try to challenge that. And so the coaches are using them. And again, I think it makes our game better.
Well, Mark, the stars are about to come out soon. The NBA All-Star Game on the horizon, a night when the greatest in the game are all on the same floor. I'm curious about your view, Mark. What is the NBA doing to get kind of the right balance to that All-Star Game, to put on a competitive event but still minimize the risk of player injury?
Yeah, that's right. It's an exhibition game at the end of the day, and so we don't want anybody to go out there and get injured. At the same time, we want the game to be competitive and for there to be a great show for the fans around the world who tune in for it. And so the players understand that. We're making a few changes in Indianapolis this year to prior All-Star games. We're going back to the traditional East versus West. I think that's going to make a difference. In the last couple of years, we went to more of a pickup format, and it was quite frankly hard for the players there to, they didn't even know what team they were playing on, quite frankly, right until before the tip-off. So now we're going back to that East versus West. They'll be practicing as a team. We're going to go back to a little bit more of a traditional timing and format around the games. And we're having conversations directly with the players, directly with the coaches, that we don't want anyone to get hurt, but that we expect them to go out there and compete. And so I think that message has been getting through to the players, and I think they all understand that and are very supportive of that as well.
So, Mark, you think we might see a little defense in that game?
I do think we will. I do think we will. And you know, and again, Giannis, I know he loves playing defense, so I can imagine Giannis will be one of those players who will be out there playing defense.
Oh, you're right. I think in Giannis's first All-Star game, he didn't get the memo.
I remember that. I remember he was going at it like it was a finals game, and guys sort of looked at him a little bit sideways. But no, the guys understand, and we've been having lots of conversations directly with them that we want the game to be competitive. We want them to be safe. We don't want anyone to get hurt, but we want it to be competitive. And I think we can expect that this year.
Very good. Well, Mark, switching gears, you've been in the league office, gosh, since 1999. And you've been a big part of the innovations we've seen. If you will, talk about the most recent change, the introduction of the in-season tournament, and Mark, given fan reaction across the country, I'm guessing the in-season tournament is here to stay.
That's a safe bet there, Gail. It is a concept that we had been talking about for probably the better part of the last 15 years or so, and we've talked to the competition committee about it, to the teams about it, to our players about it, and it has been so well received. You know, our season is a long regular season, and we've got an extended playoffs. That's sort of the model in the United States. And at the end of that long season, there was a single champion. And so, you know, in the words of some of our GMs, it felt like at the end of that season, there's one winner and there's 29 losers. And so, you know, we thought that there was an opportunity for us to create a new championship tradition that would be meaningful to teams, to players, to our marketing partners, and to our fans. And we actually saw that this happened in other parts of the world, in both basketball and soccer. This concept of these in-season tournaments, these in-season cups, was a very familiar concept. And as we saw more international players coming into our league, the guys like Luka Doncic, for example, who played in cups and won those cups internationally, it became more of a natural thing for the players to say, we get it. And so to create this new tradition without expanding the footprint of the season, other than that one final game, was the challenge for us. And I think we're always looking to ensure that our NBA season remains that compelling on-court product for our fans. That's a priority. I think the in-season tournament helped us do that.
Very good, Mark. And again, tremendous reaction. And I know that you're looking forward to continuing that tournament. And we'll have more with the Deputy Commissioner of the NBA, Mark Tatum, right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gail and the NBA's Deputy Commissioner, Mark Tatum.
Mark, let's talk about one of the big items on your agenda, negotiations for future broadcast and streaming rights for the NBA games. The media landscape, of course, is very different today than when the last national contracts were signed. Can you give us, Mark, a brief overview of the timeline and the top two or three issues that are on the table?
That's right. Yep. Yeah. So our current deals are with Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery, and those deals run through the end of next season. So we've got the rest of the season and one more season. I will tell you that both of them are longstanding partners, and it's my expectation and hope that we'll stay in business with them for many, many years ahead. We've got a window right now where we can negotiate exclusively with them this spring. And I can tell you that conversations are ongoing with them. We're also encouraged by what I call the breadth of prospective new partners, too, who have expressed strong interest in our rights. You probably saw the partnership today that Netflix announced with the WWE. They are now in the live sports business. And what we're really seeing is, I think, a watershed moment for the league. So I think our next set of agreements will really help shape the future of the NBA and how fans consume NBA basketball and probably all of sports for years to come, right? Because this next partnership that we do is going to be a longer-term deal. And so we want to make sure that we're taking a fan-first approach, that our games are accessible, that we maximize our reach to as many fans as possible. We want discoverability to be a key element here, so we want to make it really easy for fans to find out where our games are. Sometimes I know that's a challenge today, to find out where a game is, depending on if it's local or national. So we need to solve that problem. And then finally, the other priority is really reimagining the live game viewing experience. Many of our fans now really want more interactivity, more content, more data, and so really reimagining how we present our games to our fans is a huge priority for us in a future deal going forward. So I think it's likely, Gail, that we'll see a combination of television distribution and streaming distribution in our future.
Mark, do you think some of that change would involve streaming only games, or do you think the approach would be available, games available on both broadcast and streaming at the same time?
It's a good question. I think those are the conversations that we're still having today. Clearly, the NFL did do streaming only with some of their games, and I think that's a possibility for us. The streaming platforms have all, sort of expressed an interest, if you will, in things like the in-season tournament, for example, and making that a streaming product. But none of those decisions have been made yet. Like I said, one of our goals is to ensure accessibility and reach for our fans and maximizing reach. But there will likely be, again, some hybrid of television, traditional over-the-air, cable, and streaming.
It will be interesting. And, Mark, looking ahead, 30 teams today in the NBA, what are the prospects for expansion of the league?
Well, we said publicly, Gail, that expansion is not currently on our agenda. What we had stated before is that we needed to negotiate a new CBA, which we did, and that we had to negotiate our new media deals, which we're doing. And that once we get those two things done, then we would turn back to the potential for expansion. So there are no doubt several great markets, both inside and outside the United States, quite frankly, that have expressed interest in having an NBA team. And we'll turn back to those discussions once we emerge from our next round of media deals.
Terrific. Well, Mark, you have a very interesting personal background. Born in Vietnam, moved to Brooklyn at age one. Loved sports growing up, but thought you might want to be a doctor, I understand, until you took that first course in organic chemistry.
That's right. That was a tough one. It did its job, and it weeded me out.
And as we wrap up this great conversation, Mark, what message would you like to leave with Bucks fans everywhere?
I would say appreciate your team. The Milwaukee Bucks, like I said, have championship aspirations. They've got the talent to win another NBA championship. And so as a Milwaukee Bucks fan, if you're listening to this, you got to feel great about your team. You got to feel great about the prospects in that city. And I'm just wishing everyone there the best of luck.
Well, Mark, look forward to your next visit to Milwaukee. Look me up and I'll buy you a bratwurst.
Thank you, Gail. I look forward to it.
And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
All right, our thanks to Gail Klappa and his conversation with the Deputy Commissioner of the NBA this week, Mark Tatum. If you missed any of that conversation, you can find it on the Bucks Weekly podcast page. Be sure to check that out for the weekly conversations in addition to this entire show each and every week. I mentioned the schedule that sits in front of the Bucks, a five-game Western Conference road trip. It started with, oh, by the way, the reigning NBA champion Denver Nuggets in a place where they are very, very difficult to beat. A very good game between the Bucks and the Nuggets last night, but it ultimately goes to the Denver Nuggets. The Portland Trail Blazers is your next game. That is tomorrow night. It is a 9 o'clock tip, so get a pot of coffee going and get ready for some late night basketball. 9 o'clock tip, 8:30 is when our pregame coverage begins, and it marks the return to Portland for Damian Lillard, who did talk earlier today with Malika Andrews on ESPN about what it's going to feel like going back into Portland, walking into that building, going to the road locker room, and playing in the arena that he spent the first 11 years of his career, again, nearly 800 games. And now Dame is back there in Portland. He's already played the Blazers this year in that game earlier this season in Milwaukee, right around Thanksgiving. But in that game, Chauncey Billups was asked about his relationship with Damian Lillard. Because remember, at the time of the Chauncey Billups hiring, it was thought that Damian Lillard, I don't know if I'd say recruited, but that was one of the guys that he wanted and had a relationship with him. Chauncey Billups talked with the media for about 15 minutes before that game. Every single question he was asked, I'm looking at the transcripts now, every single question was about Damian Lillard and how difficult of a summer it was for Dame, and the fact that this is different for Damian Lillard. You know, Chauncey talked about when he went from team to team, when he left Detroit and went to Denver. He won a championship in Detroit, went to play for the Nuggets. It was an emotional game for him. He had to deal with different emotions. He had to see and play against friends and teammates. And it's strange. But as he said, you know, the thing is, Dame does a good job of compartmentalizing things. But also, there's not a whole lot left on this team that was here when Damian Lillard was here. Sure, you still have some players that Dame played with when you think about guys like Anthony Simons, Jeremy Grant, but that list is dwindling. It's not as though he's going back to Portland and there's C.J. McCollum and there's Yusuf Nurkic and there's guys, LaMarcus Aldridge, that Damian Lillard played with year after year after year. The team has gone through a youth movement. That makes it a little different. He has that relationship with Chauncey Billups, but for the most part, that's about it. So that is going to make it interesting being back in Portland. But also, you wonder what the emotions are going to be like for Dame and the start that Dame gets off to. Because we've talked about this on the broadcast, too. Those games where Damian Lillard hits his first shot or hits a couple of his first shots, those tend to be very good games for Damian Lillard. He gets it going early when that's the case and keeps it going. It's kind of like what we've talked about with his start to the season. Yeah, he gets off to a slow start. When that happens in the game, it takes a little bit for him to get it going. But nobody questions what Damian Lillard brings you in the fourth quarter. It is going to be interesting to see how Damian Lillard comes out and starts this game tomorrow in what figures to be a very, very emotional game. The welcoming, I'm assuming he will get a very, very warm reception from the Portland fans. There are some ways where you can say it's similar to when the Boston Celtics came to Milwaukee and the reception that Drew Holiday got. That was 3 years, though, that we're talking about. And yes, Drew Holiday, a big part of why the Bucks have another banner hanging and won a championship in 2021. But it's still just 3 years that Drew Holiday spent in Milwaukee with the Bucks. This is 11 years, more than a decade, that Damian Lillard was in Portland with the Trailblazers. Look, I'm not going to say put the city of Portland on the map, but kept them relevant. You think about some of those playoff showdowns. You think about the walk-off wins that he had in the playoffs. The iconic shot against Paul George to send the Portland Trailblazers into the second round, 6 years ago. He's had those moments, and it's linked to Portland. He has gone out of his way to mention he's a small-town guy. That was part of the appeal of Portland when you look at Weber State, where he went to. Growing up in Oakland, going to Weber State, going to play for the Trailblazers, and now to some extent playing for the Bucks. Even though, as we laid out last week, look, the Bucks are a super team. As much as we want to dance around it, you got Giannis and Dame, you're a super team. But tomorrow we finally get to see Damian Lillard making his return to Portland to take on the Trailblazers for the second time this season. And again, the rest of that road trip, the Dallas Mavericks, who still a playoff team in the West, seventh best record in the West. The Mavs and Pelicans are two teams the Bucks are catching while they're at a downswing, right? The Pelicans were close to fourth in the Western Conference leading up to that matchup with the Bucks. They've slid down to eighth. The Mavs were in the top three for large portions of this season. Now they're sitting at seventh. And then you got the Suns, who are on the opposite end of that spectrum. They have been red hot of late, winners in eight of their last 10 games. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker both playing very, very well. So you'll have that. And the Utah Jazz also going through some struggles since that big game where they came to Milwaukee and took a 31-point lead into halftime. So those are the positives, but still five games away from Milwaukee with a new coach, with no real opportunity to practice either, very much learning on the fly, and that adds to the degree of difficulty for this road trip. We'll take a look at one of the more interesting games that's taking place as we speak in the NBA, and I mentioned the Bucks had gotten some help recently. Well, that trend's starting to come to an end tonight as we continue to see the standings just below the Bucks in the East shift. We'll get you up to speed on the scores and those standings as we wrap up the show after this on Bucks Weekly. Bucks in Portland tomorrow night to take on the Trailblazers. It's a Trailblazers team that has experienced quite a bit of struggles this season. Part of the impetus for trading Damian Lillard, not just his request, but they were clearly headed towards a rebuild. They sit at 14-33, second worst record in the Western Conference, but what feels like light years ahead of the bottom three in the East, the 6-win Pistons, the 9-win Wizards, and the 10-win Charlotte Hornets. I mentioned a couple of interesting games on the schedule tonight. One is yet to tip off. That's in San Francisco, and it tips momentarily between the Warriors and the Philadelphia 76ers. The other is in progress, and it is very late. In the fourth quarter, less than 20 seconds remaining, the Boston Celtics up 5 on the Indiana Pacers right now. So Boston appears to be headed towards another victory. They came into play tonight 4 games up on the Bucks. That number is going to balloon to 4.5. So in the span of 24 hours, the Celtics have gained a game and a half on the Bucks in the Eastern Conference. Don't look now, but the New York Knicks are red hot, and they continue their climb as the Knicks are now 31-17. 2 games back of the Bucks in the loss column, a game and a half back of the Bucks. Period. They won tonight, beating the Utah Jazz, a team the Bucks will see on this upcoming road trip. But the New York Knicks have now won 8 consecutive games. And the New York Knicks are suddenly in third place by their lonesome in the Eastern Conference. They have moved ahead of the Philadelphia 76ers. Speaking of the Sixers, I mentioned they play tonight against the Warriors, and they've updated their injury report. Joel Embiid is available. He had missed the last 2 games, but he is available tonight in that matchup with the Warriors, dealing with some left knee soreness. Embiid has already missed 12 games this season, and remember, you have to play in at least 65 games to be eligible for All-NBA, for MVP, for any awards or any individual honors. You can only miss 17 games, so Joel Embiid only has 5 more games that he can miss with about half of the schedule remaining for the 76ers. Not a whole lot of wiggle room there for Joel Embiid as they move into the stretch drive. You got back-to-backs left. He's already dealt with some left knee soreness, so that's certainly a story to monitor. But in the meantime, keep an eye on the New York Knicks, who have been red hot since acquiring OG Anunoby and now climbing to a game and a half back of the Bucks. 9 o'clock tip tomorrow in Portland for the Bucks and the Trailblazers. The return of Damian Lillard. 8:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will dissect the performance of Damian Lillard in his first game as a visitor being played in Portland. Bucks Talk immediately after the game tomorrow night. We'll talk to you then.